Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, January 12th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in Genesis in chapter 12. We'll read Psalm 36 together and also Mark chapter 6 verses 14 through 29. Beginning with Genesis chapter 12, the call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you." When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious disease on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. And now let us turn over to Psalm 36, for the director of music, of David, the servant of the Lord. An oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Even on his bed he plots evil. He commits himself to a sinful course and does not reject what is wrong. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love! Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. As I was reading this psalm, a song came to mind, and I realized that the song was created with Psalm 36 in mind. It is the song, Your Love, O Lord, by Third Day. So at the end of the podcast, I hope that you'll stay with us and listen to this awesome song that reminds us of our wonderful King, the one that we worship, the one in whom we find strength, and in the shadow of his wings, we can stay. Let's move on now to Mark. Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. Before we move into reading this passage, I want to give you a little context. Remember yesterday that Jesus sent out the 12 in Mark chapter 6, verses 6 through 13, and they are doing great ministry. It says that they drove out many demons, and they anointed sick people, and they were healed. And people are starting to notice this movement of Jesus and his disciples. Even just in our short time in Mark, we have seen Jesus do great things and crowds pressing in on him. They're all asking this question in their mind, who is this Jesus? And the government officials are taking notice as well. Today we're going to see that Herod begins noticing Jesus and this movement. And it's an interesting story here about Herod and John the Baptist. Now, this Herod is not the same Herod that we heard of when Jesus was born. Remember the story of Herod the Great, who was over the Jewish people, king of the Jews, and he wanted to be the only king of the Jews. So when the wise men came to Jerusalem, he said, yes, go and find the baby so that I can go and worship him too. But really, he wanted to kill Jesus. And so Jesus and his family were sent by an angel to Egypt. Okay, it's not that Herod, because that Herod died early on in Jesus' life. This is Herod Antipas, or Herod the Tetrarch. In the New Testament, he's also referred to as King Herod. And in today's story, we hear about the fact that he has John the Baptist beheaded, and now he's wondering, is John the Baptist coming back to life? Starting in verse 14, King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said he is Elisha, and still others claimed he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask, I will give you, up to half my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. At once the girl hurried in to the king with the request. "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oath and his dinner guest, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in the prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Man, that was a weird story, wasn't it? I can't imagine being a dinner guest at Herod's birthday party and this man's head comes out on a platter. And I think about Herodias and just how ruthless she was to ask for John the Baptist's head. And then Herod, he wanted to save face. And so he did what the daughter of Herodias said. It just reminds me of the yuckiness of sin. Herod was in a sinful relationship with Herodias and he didn't want to stop it. And John had called him out on it. And so she got angry. And this sin has affected so many people in the story, even innocent people like John the Baptist. It reminds me of the story in Genesis, right? With Noah and Ham and how Ham's son Canaan was cursed because of his action. And just again, reiterating the point that sin doesn't affect us only, but it affects those around us. And so, Lord, we pray to you that you would keep us from sin today, that you would help us to seek you and your ways. And as we end the podcast together, may we end it in praise, for your love, O Lord, reaches to the mountains, and your faithfulness stretches to the skies.
To the heavens, your faithfulness stretches to the skies, and your righteousness is like the mighty mountain, yeah, and your justice flows like the ocean's tide, and I will lift my voice to worship you, my King, and I will find my strength in the shadow of your wings. Your to the heavens, your faithfulness stretches to the skies, your righteousness is like the mighty mountain, yes, your justice flows like the ocean's tides, and I will lift my voice to worship.
us to the heavens. Your faithfulness stretches to the skies.